Hi, it's Dave. So today, President Biden announced that he's nominating Jerome Powell as for a second term as Fed chairman. And I will share my thoughts on whether I think that's a good idea or not later in this video. But first, I want to talk about a new theory on inflation. And I'm saying it's new because it's new to me. It's something I've kind of been thinking about for the past few weeks. I haven't really heard many others talk about inflation in this way. So if you know any other videos or articles or people talking about it in the same way that I'm going to share in this video, please add links in the comments section to this video so I can check them out because I'm actually very interested. So here is my theory on what's going on with inflation and how I think it might play out. First of all, all of this is speculation and I could be wrong. And it's likely I'm actually wrong. Inflation, the economy, and seeing the future is extremely difficult. So take it more as a data point that I'm sharing and gather for yourself lots of different perspectives so you can make up your own mind on the economy and what's happening. All right, so most people are surprised nowadays at the rate of inflation that we're seeing in recent months. And it's not just inflation, but we've got major supply chain challenges. You have ports that are backed up. You have costs for production that are rising. You have new and used car prices that are up big. We know asset prices, right, like stocks and real estate have skyrocketed around the globe. And rental prices have jumped big in most areas. And it's not just isolated in a few places. A lot of people are scratching their heads and they're asking what's going on. So you generally have two camps. One camp says that this inflation that we're seeing is transitory, meaning the high inflation is just passing. Just wait for a few months or several months and it'll just go away by itself because first off, you got a lot of supply issues that are going to work out by themselves, right? Especially after Christmas. So a lot of people are predicting, let's say early next year, latest mid next year, everything will revert back to normal and we'll see a normal, let's say 2% inflation rate or so. The Fed is taking this angle, right? That inflation is transitory and it's high just temporarily. Kathy Wood is also taking a type of angle like this. She's saying generally she thinks inflation that we're seeing is transitory, driven a lot due to supply chain challenges. But also she thinks that the deflationary pressure of tech and innovation, right, is going to push down prices and counteract, right, the other inflationary pressures. All right. The other angle is that the inflation that we're seeing is not transitory, but rather that we will continue to see this inflation for a while, longer than just a few to several months, but it's kind of undefined as to how long, right, this inflation or this higher inflation will last. But let's say, generally speaking, the consensus of the second camp is that it's going to be longer than mid next year. All right, for most people, they've looked at inflation as a whole economy problem. And this is what I mean. The Fed is looking at inflation and they're looking at the economy like there's one economy. And that's true in some senses. But I think there's a major problem and a big dilemma that the Fed is going to be faced with and is faced with right now. If inflation is not transitory, and if inflation actually runs high, then they're going to need to pull back their quantitative easing, the buying of bonds, et cetera, faster, and they're gonna have to raise interest rates to rein in things, right, to cool down the economy and inflation. But if inflation is transitory, then they can take their time pulling back QE as expected, let's say sometime mid or late next year, and generally they can keep a low interest, right, environment for quite a while. But I think, in my opinion, and this is where kind of my angle comes in, I think probably most everyone is actually viewing the situation incorrectly. And my whole kind of foundation or reason or rationale for this is I think our economy can't be viewed as one economy. What I mean by this is, what if, and this is hypothetical in some ways, what if we've experienced such a profound and drastic economic revolution in the past 20 years with the internet that it has become so profound that there's a dichotomy in the economy where there is an online economy and there is an offline economy. And these two economies are actually very, very different animals. And I think to group them and to approach them and to treat them as the same economy can be actually tremendously a big mistake, to say the least. All right, let's take a look at this another angle. 20 years ago, the online economy was minuscule, right? I mean, you basically had almost nothing. Amazon was just getting started, right? It was like, who was ordering stuff online? It was just a far in view. So you had the offline economy is the main economy. And then you had this online economy, which is like minuscule. 10 years ago now the online economy is growing with online shopping, Google, and all this stuff. But still, it's still a minor part of the entire economy. But I think what has happened in the past 10 years is, and what is likely, is the online part of the economy has grown so fast that I think it actually has come close to actually the size of the offline economy. And then you have the middle, the hybrid parts of the economy, where they're kind of operating in the offline economy, the physical world economy, but they could go online if need be. And that is exactly what happened with the pandemic, right? Last year in 2020. And this is, I think, of momentous historic significance. And here's what I mean, is you had, let's say, these two economies almost, I don't want to say battling, but they're in contention in some ways, the online economy and the offline economy. Hypothetically, let's say they're the same size, you know, coming into 2020. But with the pandemic, it forced everyone who could, let's say in this offline economy, it forced anyone who could to go online if possible. And what happened was the offline economy that was purely, truly just offline, and I call it the vulnerable offline economy, was actually quite small. It had to deal with probably, you know, travel and restaurants and storefronts and people who needed, right, this physical activity and proximity. But a lot of the offline actually economy could have gone online, and they did actually in 2020 to sustain and to survive. Now, let's take a step back further and say, okay, let's say the Fed, what should the Fed do in this situation? Let's say the pandemic hits. I think, let's say we have to look at it, if the Fed does nothing, what happens? If the Fed does nothing in 2020, the online economy, it naturally explodes because people have a hard time going out, you know, so they basically do commerce, they communicate, they collaborate, everything online. So you have online groceries, you have online media, online entertainment, online work, online collaboration, online investing, online consulting and services. All of this stuff is going to explode naturally. So the online economy has this natural boost of just a super boost. It's hyper boosted, right? Because of the pandemic. That's why you had stocks like and companies like Amazon and Google and Zoom and Facebook and Netflix. They all exploded, right? Their services exploded, etc. All of this is done purely without any help from the Fed. But now, how about the offline economy? So the offline economy, some is going to suffer big without the Fed. For example, restaurants, hotels, travel, airlines, cruise ships, etc., nail salons, etc. But some will adapt. For example, plumbers and electricians, right? Handymen, etc. They might actually do quite well, even let's say the Fed didn't do anything, because the online economy, if that's growing faster than usual, then there's a lot of money from that trickles down into services. For example, people need their house kept up, and so they'll pay for an electrician or a plumber. So it's possible that actually these services actually get boosted too, in the case, right, of COVID without the Fed. But of course, it's with the exception of the services and places that have stores, right, that have storefronts and operations that might need to get closed. So in the bigger picture, it's the vulnerable offline businesses that really are the big losers in a COVID or pandemic crash that the Fed doesn't get involved with. So what should the Fed have done? In 2020, early 2020, we've got this stuff going on. Instead of panicking and doing kind of this like blanket trillions of dollars to supporting everything, I think the Fed should have targeted and propped up just the vulnerable offline economy, because that's the only part of the economy that really needed to be helped. If you're going to spend trillions of dollars and half of it or more goes to the online economy that's already booming, right? Like an incredible amount, you're just going to cause like a crazy bubble, not just bubble, but overheated economy. So what you do instead, you should prop up the retail storefronts, the hotels, the travel industry, right? Restaurants, all this stuff. And your focus should be lending and giving support on the vulnerable offline businesses. That's the way out of the pandemic the Fed and the government should have took. But what the Fed did was, they took a general propping up of the economy approach. They printed trillions of dollars, right? Bought up trillions of dollars of assets, et cetera. And a lot of this stuff actually just pumped the online economy even more and more than it needed to be pumped, because the online economy would have done fantastic even without the Fed pumping, the government pumping. So what do you get is you get this massive increase in company valuations, and the whole sector goes, you know, berserk, and also workers benefit. So they get perhaps higher salaries, and they can also demand more products, right? Because they're in a better position. Not to mention also the big asset price increases from stocks and real estate. So people have more to spend, at least people with those assets. So what did the Fed do actually last year through its QE, quantitative easing, you know, the government's fiscal policy, all this stuff? Basically, you take a hot economy, right, which is the online economy, which is hot without the Fed and government, and then the hybrid part of the offline economy that can switch online, all of that is booming automatically. And rather than just focusing on helping the vulnerable offline, if you support and pour trillions of dollars on the entire economy, you basically take a good chunk of the hot economy and make it burning hot. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. It's just like, it's going crazy. The result is, yeah, sure, you save the vulnerable offline economy, but you could have done that with like 1/10 of the cost probably, right? Then, or even less than the spending and the things that you did by trying to so-called save the entire economy, when the entire economy did not need saving, right? That's the whole point, you know? It's frustrating. And part of me thinks like, yeah, if you have people in the government, in the Fed, et cetera, who aren't like sharp and seeing the transition, the monumental changes in society that are happening before our eye, like just in the past few years or several years, you're going to have like crazy policy mistakes like this happen. And I think this is an absolutely crazy policy mistake. The result we're seeing is you have high inflation, not just asset inflation, but now you have consumer, you know, inflation. You have gas, you have cars, you have, you know, food prices going up, you have rent prices going up significantly. And the problem is inflation is terrible for especially those whose wages can't keep up on the lower end, especially. Their jobs are not in demand. And so you have food increases and rent increases and all this stuff. And this is hurting the lower class the most. And the sad part is the Fed and the government has created or has exacerbated, right, this massive pain on the very people who need it the most. And it's ironic in some ways because the Fed is saying, let's bail out everyone because, you know, we want to help those who are less fortunate, but by doing so in an inept manner, they're creating actually, and they've created a monster of a problem, a much bigger problem with this, you know, high inflation that they said was never going to come. And when it comes, they're saying, oh, it's going to go away. All right. So what can the Fed do right now? Right. Let's be productive and positive in some way. So we've got high inflation. So if my theory is correct, that we're experiencing high inflation because our online economy and the parts of the offline economy that have been able to take advantage of online. So that's the majority of the economy, in my opinion, that's connected, right? That economy is just too hot and the Fed has just poured gasoline on it. And that's the reason, in my opinion, at least in this moment. Of course, all my talks are streams of consciousness. Maybe in 1 week I'll have a different opinion, but I'm just sharing kind of how I'm processing this stuff. So this stuff is like gasoline has been poured. It's just on fire like crazy, right? Over time, this online economy and the economy connected to the online economy will cool down. But the question is, how much inflation will we see in the meantime, and how many months or years, right, will it take? And what is the collateral damage going to be? For example, number one, what is the wealth inequality going to be like in the U.S. or what is the wealth and how much is the wealth inequality going to worsen because of this, right? Inflation just is terrible for wealth inequality. And not just the US, but elsewhere in the world. This is becoming a global phenomenon that we're seeing here. Are we going to see weakened social and political structures? Are we going to see higher discontent and more political and social instability because of, right, inflation across the board, and people realizing like this is messed up? All right, what more specifically can the Fed do in coming months to kind of deal with the problem that they have right now? I think first off, If inflation tracks higher than expected in coming months, and my suspicion is that it will, I think the Fed will be pressured to end QE, their quantitative easing program, faster, and they'll be pressured to raise interest rates. But in my opinion, again, my opinion, I don't think they'll want to actually raise interest rates because they know that that would cool down the economy. And the Fed knows the vulnerable offline economy that is just surviving right now, that part of the economy, would get hurt further, and they don't want to do that. So I think the Fed is going to try to push off expediting the end of QE. And I don't think they're going to raise interest rates that quickly. I think they're going to try to, you know, err on the side of keeping interest rates as low as possible. The result is we'll probably see the economy booster and led by the online economy that's going to run hotter than I think it should be because the government is still pouring the gasoline right on that. And I'm not sure how long, right? It'll run super hot. And during that time, I think it's very possible that we're going to see inflation that is higher than the Fed wants. And this could be going on for quite some quarters. We'll see. All right, I want to go ahead and finish with what I think of Jerome Powell's nomination for a second term as Fed chairman. In my opinion, I think he messed up his first term. The vast majority consensus of investors in the financial world, they look up to Jerome Powell. They think he's like this great hero, right? Even Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, all these people are praising Jerome Powell as this person who saved the economy. And when I look at the causes of where our inflation is coming from and stuff, I'm thinking actually, geez, he completely messed up big time, right? Like, sure, you could say like, oh, he saved, like he propped up the economy, but did he really? He propped up, sure, the vulnerable, right, offline economy, the restaurants and travel and all the storefronts, et cetera, retail in some ways, but he poured gasoline on the bigger part of the economy that was already getting a super boost from the pandemic, right? Forcing people to move online. And now he can't even figure out what's the cause of inflation, right? He's still trying to like, it feels like, he's just like in this chaotic situation, just trying to make sense of things. And I understand that this stuff is complicated stuff. Most economists and investors can't figure out like what stuff, where is this all going and where is this, you know, coming from, et cetera. But I just hope that Jerome Powell has learned his lessons on what he did wrong, on what parts of the economy I think are just overheated and just being pumped and artificially, right, boosted by the Fed. And I hope that he can correct his mistakes and kind of, you know, steer this ship in a better direction to avoid what could be, a big crash or, you know, a big accident in the making. All right, if this was helpful, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm on Twitter at HeyDave7. Just last week, I started to post on Instagram, kind of these 1-minute video clips that aren't on YouTube. Just share kind of random thoughts on investing ideas, principles, whatever. They're more off the cuff. So check me out on Instagram as well at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.